for introductory thought tonight. I was just thinking about this today, the agape love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Father, we just pray you would just bless this portion. Thank you for your amazing grace, your amazing love, that we can let you, the God of love, love us in any situation and in any circumstance. Bless these thoughts and bless the message to come. In Christ's name, amen. You know, in these seasons, it's interesting that we find ourselves in a predicament where we are in a place where we need God to love us. And I love this because when we think about the attributes of God, it's who God is outside of his creation. Therefore, God doesn't need anything to add to who he is. But the beauty of it is he loves to pour out his love. And I was thinking tonight, you know, because of the situation we find ourselves in, you may find yourself in a situation where you're out of your norm. But be assured tonight, God loves you. Yes, he loves you. And this is beautiful because so many times we can think that, you know, my specific circumstance can affect the love of God. But think about three things briefly that are unaffected by the love of God. First one is time. We just read in Jeremiah 31, of old I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It means a love that is not affected or controlled or manipulated or hindered or limited by time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved. And this is beautiful because what it means practically, that there's not a time in my life where God does not love me. There's not an hour, a minute, a second, a circumstance, a situation that hinders God's love towards me. Second, and we heard about it this morning, one other thing that doesn't affect it by the love of God is failure. This morning we heard about Jonah. And Jonah says, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going. But you know what? Even in Jonah's disobedience, what met him? The love of God. On the boat, in the belly of the whale, and in Nineveh. And this is beautiful because maybe you're hearing this message or you're watching this telecast and you're thinking, you know what? I know God loves them, but God doesn't love me. Be assured, yes, even you, God loves. And I love this because in John 21, we see Peter. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And if you're not careful, you're looking at Peter's doing the loving. But it actually means Jesus is asking, are you receiving my love? Because if Peter is receiving God's love, then there will be a reciprocate. There will be a relationship. There will be a reflection of the love back to Jesus. And this is so important because you can think about, like, what things can take the place of the love of God? Finances, health, relationships, people. We are in social distancing. And all of these things, if we're not careful, can take the place and become more important than Jesus Christ and God loving me personally. I love this in Genesis 17. Five times God says to Abraham, it's me and you. It's me and you. And this time in our lives, God is reducing us to me and him. Why? So that I can understand God's love is personal for me, for my unique situation, for my unique circumstance. And then the last thing I was thinking about that cannot hinder the love of God is distance. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel finds himself in verse 2. He says, in those days I was mourning 3 full weeks. For 24 days, 21 days, he is praying. He is fasting. And it says this in verse 10. Daniel was alone. Maybe you find yourself alone. Maybe there's people around you, but because of circumstances, because of fear, as we heard of Pastor Shabelli, fear makes you feel alone. But you know what's beautiful? Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love removes fear. And Daniel had no strength. It says in verse 8, he had no strength. 8 times he had no strength. That means no ability. He was fearful. There was great fear. But I love this in verse 11. This is how God speaks to Daniel in the midst of his situation. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. In the midst of his difficulty, in the midst of his circumstance, in the midst of his questions, in the midst of his attack, because we know that in Daniel chapter 10, he prayed, but his prayer was hindered by demonic forces. When finally the answer came, what was God trying to communicate to Daniel? His great love. And this is the thing that carries us. In Romans chapter 8, it says, who can separate us from the love of God? You know, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So this is beautiful tonight. Time, failure, and distance cannot hinder everlasting love, eternal love, personal love, and enduring love. And this is what we need in these times, personally, to know that God loves me and that nothing can separate the love of God. Amen. Amen.
That was great. Thank you. Wow. Beautiful. Pastor Eugene, really good. Very edifying. Very edifying. I've got 2 brothers over here and 2 sisters on the band and a few brothers over here. No one in front of me. It's really different, but it's also precious to know that people are concentrating and listening. Are you able to take your Bible with a notebook and sit and focus for the next 20 minutes and listen to a message? Are you listening? Is the Holy Spirit speaking? We have a social distance, geographical distance between us, but God is speaking to our hearts. We are hearing the tapping on the pipe that we read about in a prison. Men in solitary confinement, never seeing each other, but on the radiator, tapping out a message. And so, in a similar way, much better, God has given us this book and His Spirit to teach us. And Pastor Eugene just gave us an excellent message on God, His love. Wow, beautiful. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 141. And we are speaking here on this verse 5. And we are continuing on our morning subject of maturing and increasing from childhood to manhood in love. love, God's love, increasing and growing in his love, in the anointing of God, in the Spirit of God, in the mind of God. So we, naturally speaking, are, you know, one degree of maturity, like this box, like Jonah and Peter, after he denied the Lord. And the Lord is drawing both the prophet Jonah and Peter into love. Lovest thou me? Love. One time, Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, visited the McAuley Mission in New York. She asked if there was a boy there who had no mother, and if he would come up and let her lay her hand on his head. She was apparently a guest speaker or a singer, but a public place, and asked the crowd, is there a boy here who has no mother? A motherless fellow came up, and she put her arms about him and kissed him. She went from that meeting and wrote, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Sometime later, when Mr. Sankey was about to sing this song in St. Louis, he related the incident. A man sprang up to his feet in the audience and he said, I am the boy she kissed that night. I was never able to get away from the impression made by that touching act. I have become a Christian. I feel that in the ministry we have learned that we have power to bless with our hands, with our prayers, with our smile, with our heart, with our attitude. I feel that we have learned by the Holy Spirit in fellowship with each other, and in this case, by calling, by in our hearts, by prayer, by caring, that we are at an important time in our history as a church and churches across the country on a mission and caring for lost people. Maybe during these weeks when we are not able to gather, you might have a neighbor that you could invite to your home if you are clean of the coronavirus, and have them in your home and have them watch this service or watch a video or a ministry of the word. It might be that you meet somebody in a park and you may have a word in season, because some people are afraid and they're concerned. In this verse, chapter 141, in verse 5, it says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And I'd like to use our picture here and say that God is bigger than you and I. And one of the things that he does is he, in the King James, this word, he smites us. He wounds us. He tries us. He corrects us. It seems that this pandemic in the world, as tragic as it is, could also be considered a smiting, that God is speaking to people. I think in some way we could say it is a kindness that God would grab the attention of people and say to them in their hearts, are you ready? Are you prepared? Can you face reality? Do you know that I am a holy God and a righteous God? Do you know who I am? That I am Christ, the risen Savior, the answer for your life. That I love you. That Jesus said, I came not into the world to judge the world, but to save it. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And when we see him smitten of God in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12. Sometimes in our lives, we are ministered to by the message of truth from the Bible as the prophet said it. I read Amos chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. We read the love of God in Isaiah 44, Isaiah 45. We see the prophets Ezekiel in chapter 11, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, and God speaking truthfully to the Jewish nation. When Jesus came into the world, in a way, his ministry was one not only of kindness and tenderness, but of smiting, that he was truthful, that he was direct, that he told the truth, and that truth is what he said would set us free in John 8 and verse 32. We'll be changed if we receive the truth, and that we are in a world where many ways in our world we are living life, and for many Americans it is a tough life. But at the same time, the immorality, the growing cancer of immoral living, that in my heart I can do as I please, that in my heart I can sleep with whoever, that in my heart I can take whatever drugs I want, that in my heart I can do whatever I see that is done in the movies. And in my heart I can follow what some, you see the corruption in government, and sometimes these men are very bad examples to our people. And then God steps in and he smites. The psalmist said, it is a kindness when the righteous smite me. When ungodly people smite me, it's an injustice. It's not right. But when God smites me, it's good. It's right. And we see forms of that in our world, in a school. We see it in athletics. We see the coach, and in our parenting, we see parents that are correcting and guiding and leading their children. Why wouldn't it be the same with us as believers, that God would speak truth to us? Maybe I don't like it, but I would rather live in thus saith the Lord than my opinion. Maybe, you know, I don't appreciate it, but I'd rather grow up. I'd rather grow up in love and find God. I'd rather know who God is than to know who I am, in Proverbs 18 and verse 2. That the fool studies to know his own heart, but he can't find it, in Jeremiah 17, 9. He will never find out what is in his heart or how he works. He'll never discover who he really is. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing in John 15 and verse 5. But through him, we can do all things. And he doesn't want us to discover ourselves in that way. He wants us to discover himself. Know me, Hosea 6 and verse 2. If we go on, we will know the Lord. If we make straight paths for our lame feet, we will be healed in Hebrews chapter 12. If we lift up the hands that hang down, if we lift up the hands that hang down, then we will be healed along the way, and no root of bitterness will spring up and trouble us. But I have to say that this is the problem with being smitten, that this little man can become a bitter little man because self-love cannot handle the trial, the difficulty, the pain, the disappointment, the discouragement, because my small world of self-love isn't unable to handle what life may dish out to me. And this is what makes our, that's why we have great needs around us, just like Fanny Crosby with this little boy who had no mother and got some love poured on him, and he never forgot it. And her arms, blind woman, and her arms goes around him and wanted to pray for a boy who had no mother in the town meeting. And there it goes, and he never forgot about it. This is the kind of ministry that we are engaged in. It's a ministry that where we expand and we grow up even when we are smitten. Even when we are tried, even when we go through trials, we do not harden our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 3, or live in an evil heart of unbelief. Look at verse 5, please. Let the righteous smite me. Can you say that prayer tonight? Jesus, you may smite me. You may speak to me. I know your truth is all about love. I know you would not hurt me without also sustaining me. Didn't Job say that in Job chapter 23? I'm pretty sure he said it. Maybe it's in verse 10 or verse 12 or 14. And though he slay me, I will trust him. In chapter 13 and verse 10, beautiful, amazing. I know that if he hurts me, he will come into me and strengthen me in my inner man. Ephesians chapter 3. Ask that to Paul as he wrote that long list of trials in 2 Corinthians 11. And you can just say, I glory in my infirmity, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I know when he is smiting me, there's something I'm growing in. And maybe we could say in our country that this kind of plague, just to take something bad and turn it into something good, we can say in our hearts, Lord, deal with us and humble us and bring us to yourself. And put it in our heart and in our mouth that we would speak as we ought to in Ephesians chapter 6. That the men of God in our country, the men and the women of God and the messengers of Christ and the members of the body would have a word in season to him that is weary. I have another little piece to read. It says, this farmer said, he was a convert of Billy Sunday in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He said, on my farm, I raise special stock, and there's not a person for miles around who would not go to great lengths to warn me if one of my prized cows got on the railroad track. Yet for 25 years, never a man spoke a word to me about my spiritual welfare. They would speak to me immediately about my cows, but they would not say anything about my soul. Maybe they would talk all day and night about the coronavirus, but will anybody talk to me about my soul? Maybe we shouldn't, because we don't want to offend or smite. I don't think so. I don't mean that. I think I don't mean that exactly like that, but I understand it. We can talk about cows and many things in life. We get prepared for weddings and banquets and barbecues. We get prepared for the gym and get prepared for holidays, get prepared for vacation. But is anybody getting prepared to meet God? Prepare to meet thy God, the prophet said. Thus saith the Lord. I want to fill our hearts and minds with those phrases, those truths. Thus saith the Lord. That's amazing power. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. There is a heaven. Mark 9, 43, 45, 47, everlasting fire where the worm is not quenched. Thus saith the Lord. Whoever believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. The greatest authority in the earth. When God said, and let there be light, there was light. Thus saith the Lord. The authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the ministry of God, the authority of God in this world. And one of the things that love does is smite me lovingly. Guides us. Proverbs 6:23, verse 22. Your word, when I wake in the morning, it speaks to me. When we walk along the way, it will guide me. And when I go to sleep, it will keep me. It will preserve me. And when I wake up, it will speak to me. And by reproofs of light, we are walking and being corrected as a way of life. It's a way of life. To live by, thus saith the Lord. Let me just close with this verse, an interesting and strange story. 1 Kings chapter 20. Please pay attention, we're almost done. Keep your focus. Stay fixed. Lock in. What are we saying? 1 Kings chapter 20. It's a portion. I'm going to abbreviate part of the story. An Israeli king is fighting with an Assyrian king. The Israeli king captures the Assyrian king. He captures him. And the king and his fellow leaders reason together, and they say, the Jewish kings, the Israeli kings are merciful. Maybe he will give us mercy. And he came up, he was invited up on the king's chariot, and they were talking. And the Israeli king said, you are my brother. And from that, he understood that maybe he would be forgiven or released and let go. Even in a time of war, he has been captured. He was an enemy, a very dangerous man. But now he is like released. He lets him go. So a prophet tells this story in chapter 20 and verse 35. A certain man of the sons of the prophet said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, strike me, I pray you. And the man refused to strike him. Okay, here we go. This story is amazing. That verse is, wow. It's just a random story, small two verses, very small little story in our Bible. And the prophet said to this neighbor, just this man, just this stranger, this man, he said, hit me, hit me. And the man refused to do it. He said, hit me. No, and he refused to do it. So then he prophesied and he said, verse 36, then he said to him, behold, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you are departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. This is such a powerful story. Yeah. Could you go back to the previous one? A certain man of the sons of the prophet said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, strike me, I pray you, and the man refused. So this is the meaning. The man of God said, strike me. And I'm telling you, the meaning of it is, I'm telling you from God that you are to hit me. You are to strike me. But the man refused. And so the prophet said, a lion is going to eat you. A lion will eat you. I told you to strike me. And that's what you should do. You should strike me. And because you didn't, because you couldn't strike me. And look up at our screen here. I want to say, when I am immature in God, really, when I'm immature, God, I have no striking power. I have nothing to say. I have no message. I have no striking power. So a lion can devour me. A lion can eat me because I don't have a message. I don't have truth in the inner man. Psalm 51, verse 6. Why isn't, and it's related to letting my enemy go. Why would I let my enemy go? Sentimentality. Why would I let my enemy go? Because I'm lacking truth. Because I don't have conviction. I'm not persuaded. Why do I let my enemy go? Because I don't know God's mind. God's mind is not to let the enemy go. But the Israeli king let him go. And so the prophet said, let me tell you. And this is how the story goes. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see more of it there. But I want to stay right here for a moment and finish the message and say, you got to have some striking power in your life. You got to have something to say. You got to have something going on in your heart, because God says, in Psalm 141, verse 5, the psalmist said, let the righteous smite me, it will be a kindness. When we go to Bible college, and we go to this kind of Bible college, and classes are going to be online, and the college goes on, and it'll be more fervent than ever, and the teachers are very disciplined, and we're very serious about our Bible college class, and you as a student, because we're not meeting like we normally do, and you got to be very specially disciplined to do your classes and be serious about it. And because this is where we're this is where I get corrected. This is where I get fed. This is where my immature love is challenged, that I would become mature. This is where I learn to be able to go to a foreign country with a message that has some striking power, meaning what we're saying. Fanny Crosby took an orphaned boy and hugged him and prayed a blessing on him, and years later, he's in a Billy Sunday meeting and says, I am that boy. That's love. That's truth. That's outreach. That's caring. That's ministry. That's reaching somebody. That's touching a heart. That's a way of life. We cannot just be people that go with the flow and go with whatever people are saying and doing. I need to be a seeker of God and seek God's mind. I need to be a seeker of God in the Word of God. I need to be a seeker of God in His will, the will of God for my life. Let the righteous smite me, it will be a kindness, because there'll be a maturity happening. When I look for people that I can be submitted to, when I look for spiritual people in the body that I can be submitted to, that I can be corrected by their life, by their fervency, by their love, by their truth, by their ministry, when I can find that in the body, and then that's a kindness to me. This is a blessing to me. But what happens when you let the enemy go? He just becomes another problem. What happens when you don't? When you have a man who, and the prophet said, "You're to strike me," and the man said, "No." So he was devoured by a lion. 1 Peter 5:10: "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, like a roaring lion." Lion seeks him whom he may devour. You know who he can devour? Somebody who has no striking power, no ministry of love, no kindness. You know, it isn't only, and when I say striking, it isn't only a sense of violence. No, it's a soft answer breaks the bone. Proverbs 15:1. No, it's a ministry of faithful doing through years. And these seasoned men and women, and in these weeks coming, we're going to have rap sessions here, you know, like we do right after the service here tonight. And I asked Pastor Rinaldo to be in it tonight. And through the weeks, I'll ask different ones to come in. I'd like some of the women to come in also. A woman of God to come in and just sit with us on our little panel, and we have fellowship. I'd like somebody from the teenager, maybe a teenager, and Pastor Pete Westera, Pastor Love, youth ministry. We have so much, but this is a point of communicating. Our website and Facebook Live and YouTube. It's a point, as you all know this and are doing, but we want to say so many things. We want to say so many things, and we don't want to ever lose our let's understand it correctly, our punch, our godly stuff, our godly effort, work, our godly truth. The world is in a state of deception. Matthew 24:1 Even the church seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the end times. The Spirit was showing Paul very clearly in the end times of falling away by demon spirits and doctrines that are false. But if we can keep on the narrow road, then look at Proverbs 4:16 or verse 18. It says, "The light of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day." And I enjoyed so much talking to Charles Hadley in Turkey today, and just to say hi to him and hear about his sweet spirit and beautiful testimony and great attitude, and him also coming home in a couple of days, and that great Hadley family whom we love so much. You know, we have cultivated by God's grace a more mature love of 1 Corinthians 13. Many ways I feel, and I'm sure, let me finish with this, I'm sure many of us have felt how we have failed having that love, or we have left somebody down, or we're not what we should be and all that stuff. But get out of it. Don't live in it. Don't care a snap about it. Ignore it. Go on. Go on and get up and get moving. and live in God's love. God is caring about the emergency rooms. He's caring about the hospitals. He's caring about those dear people in Italy and Spain. He's caring about Europe. He's caring about the whole world. He's caring about our communities. He's caring about what we are doing and what our message is. And we're just a voice out in the wilderness saying something important. This world is living in a world of deception, and yet God is saying, I love you. I care about you. This plague is going on, but come unto me and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And tune in and be part of it and trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Say to Jesus in your heart, in your family, wherever is gathered around you, in the living room or wherever you are, in the car, on your iPhone, or wherever you may be this very moment, just say to God, Lord, you may smite me. It will be a kindness. Your people can talk to me. I will not turn away. I will draw near and give me some smiting power in my heart. Give me a message. Give me something to say. Give me care for people. Give me a care for my neighbors. Give me a care in my heart for my country and for your people. Give me a care for what's happening in this world. Open my eyes and help me and lead me all the days of my life. Bless your missionaries out on the fields. Bless the people that are shut in. Bless the people that are sick. And bless the people that we know that are facing challenging times. And lead us in this maturity in Jesus' name. Anyone listening who's not a believer, come to Jesus as you are. And in your heart, say to Jesus, I believe in you. I want you in my life. Show me the way. Open my heart and enlighten my mind. Give me peace, supernatural peace in my heart, and fill me with your Holy Spirit that I would know you in a personal way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said the prayer, send an email to us. May God bless you. Welcome the singers. Right after the song, we'll do the benediction. We'll do the rap session. And you may send in on Facebook Live. May send in questions or comments.